God willing, I will. But I have to apologize. I'm going to have to leave immediately. My life is different now. It's really rewarding, but I am the host and managing editor of Chronicle, thank you. But it's very different, and so I can't predict when we're going to be shooting, and pardon the pun, but I have to be in Steubenville, Mingo Junction, at a veterans charity shoot because we need the word shots. We need a lot of shots of guns and veterans using guns. And also there's a Navy SEAL there who's a great interview. And unfortunately, I have to be there at 10:15. So I can't stay, and I wish I could. But I want to start out very quickly and leave you with this before I introduce Pastor Barry. A couple of nights ago, I was having dinner with some friends. One of the friends I've always felt had a substance abuse problem, a number of things, but in particular alcohol. And so I watched, hi, I'm Sally.
Hi, Sally.
I'm a recovering alcoholic. I am an alcoholic. Forget the recovery. I am in recovery, but we're supposed to say. I forget how to say. I don't go to enough meetings, so I'm Sally. I'm an alcoholic. And so I'm watching and not feeling very charitable, feeling really angry. And some of you who are in recovery probably understand where I am. This is my third crack at it, so it's been 2.5 years. And feeling good about it, but I've had an 8-year stint of sober and a 5-year stint. This is one's got to make it, I know. But anyway, so I'm watching her go through what was almost a bottle of wine, getting louder and louder and more vitriolic and what have you. So we walked outside, and she's clearly drunk. And so I finally, and the other two friends are there, not saying anything, and I looked at her, and she was going to another event, and I said, "Are you all right to drive?" What I should have said is, "You should not drive." And these two friends stood there, and she looked at us and said, "I'm a better driver drunk than I am sober." Is that an alcoholic for you? And no one said a word. No one stepped in to stop her from getting in a car. And as I was driving home, I realized that those other two people, and then I called the other person and said, "She is an alcoholic." "Well, she had more to drink this time than I've seen her in a while." These are highly, highly intelligent people. Two of them I would call geniuses. What is wrong with our culture that we don't step in as friends, as family members, and intervene and try to lead someone to help? And what that woman could have done that night is killed herself, killed someone else, had the restaurant where we were sued. We could have been sued. I'm not just talking about litigation, but I boiled it down to practicality. What do we do with this culture when we know that there's a problem with substance abuse, with mental health issues, and yet we don't help get help? So today, please try to figure that out, solve the problem, and make it all right. So right now, it is my great, this is such a beautiful sanctuary, and I'm so glad we're here again. And I'd like to welcome, for our opening prayer, Pastor Barry Mariana. Mariana, did I pronounce it correctly? From Christ Church.
Well, my name is Barry, and I am a sinner, a sufferer, and a saint, just like all of you. And it's great to have all of you here on behalf of our other pastors, our staff, and our entire congregation. I see some of our congregants here. It's great to have all of you here. We welcome you to Christ Church at Grove Farm. We are in our 20th year here. We're a young church, and God has truly blessed us. And we absolutely love when God brings people just like you in a setting just like this. 15th, I don't want to steal any of Jay's or anyone else's fire here, ammunition, but it's wonderful. 15 years, the Pittsburgh Pastoral Care Conference has been taking place several times here. I've been asked to pray, so I'm going to do that on our behalf. So let's bow our hearts in our heads and just pause in these moments, and I will, by God's grace, lead us in prayer this morning concerning all the things that are before us, most of them. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for the gift of today. Every day is a gift. Every breath is a gift. Every heartbeat is a gift from you. And as Sally has alluded to, we are living in a culture, in a day, mean, Jesus lived in a culture, he lived in a day where people had addictions because they were sinners and they were sufferers. And as Christ came, Lord God, and began to minister the gospel of grace and mercy and compassion and this unconditional love, people's lives began to be transformed from the inside out. And so as we gather today, Lord, we are so very grateful for this facility, for the ways that you have provided. You are Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for the staff that's working behind the scenes, for Ed Shuley back here in the booth, our facilities people. We thank you for the committee, of which I was a humble, just so pleased to be a part of, and the committee for promoting and organizing and planning this event today. We thank you for all of them, for Karen and Jay and Allison, just everyone. Father, we thank you when we present ourselves before your throne of grace and mercy this morning, recognizing that none of us have arrived, that knowledge is good. Without knowledge, we could never be wise. We can never gain a heart of wisdom without learning more. But Father, knowledge puffeth up. Help us today as we take our places in each of the seminars, Lord. There's a plethora of them. That you would help each of our participants to gain knowledge and understanding and insight. But just not for the sake of knowledge or intellectual assent, but that you would help each of us, Lord, as participants to grow in wisdom, that we would apply what we are learning, that we would take what the presenters share with us, these words of life, of instruction, of warning, and utilize them in the context of our lives and ministries, whether we be pastors, laity, counselors. Help us, Father God, to receive by your grace all that our presenters present today. And we pray for them, Lord, each one, that you would anoint them by your Holy Spirit, even as that is the subject today by our keynote speaker. We ask, God, that by your grace and your Holy Spirit, you would anoint. Thank you for what you have prepared in their minds and in their hearts to share in each of the seminars this morning, in each of the sessions, Lord. Guard their hearts. If they have things that are weighing them down, as each of us do, the things of life, Father, grant them your peace and your comfort now. Set them at ease. They're not performing, but they're ministering by your grace and the power and presence of your Spirit on behalf of those that will be sitting under their charge, under their teaching, under their sharing. So bless our presenters today. And we do thank you, Father God, for Reed Carpenter, a man who probably doesn't even know, influenced my life at the age of 17 in his office in Pittsburgh when he said, Barry, I think God has something big in store for you. And here I am, running down a broken road, dabbling in drugs and girls and coming to Christ through Young Life, Father God, and Stu Bamig at Montour High School. So I'm just thrilled, as you are thrilled, Lord, and we ask your blessing by your grace and the power and presence of your Holy Spirit to anoint Reed Carpenter on our behalf as he presents, Lord, that we might gain knowledge and understanding and insight, and then that you, by your Spirit and grace, would apply what he has to share with us at large as a group before we begin to scatter into our various venues. Lord God, that which you would have each of us to know and learn about ourselves and apply to our own lives first. Father God, when we're done learning and we're done changing, we are done leading. And we praise you and we thank you, Father God, for all that you're going to do in our midst. We thank you for the food that we're going to eat and ask you to bless that and nourish our bodies that we might gain strength. But in these moments, Lord, help us now to set aside the distractions and cares and concerns of our lives. We give you all the glory and praise, asking you to do all this to your glory. We give you this day, Father, before us. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Before I introduce Pastor Jay, I wanted to just interject. I was speaking primarily about substance abuse, but I think one of the other things that you all do so wonderfully is shine a light on mental health issues and mental illness and domestic abuse and issues in communities. And I think after listening to Pastor Barry, what you can lead families and communities to is recognition of these issues, recognition in their own towns, in their own families, but grace within the recognition. And I was lacking that a few moments ago, and that's why I'm so happy that I just feel like I'm pulling a little bit from all of you today, and maybe I will go forth with a little bit more grace in my anger. That sounds like it's paradoxical, but anyway, it is my great pleasure before I leave to introduce to you a dear friend. I will always remember our discussion about Queen Elizabeth and what she did in the history of Christendom, and standing in a hallway at one of these events. And he is such an educated and enlightening man. May I welcome to the podium the Reverend Canon Dr. Jay Geisler, Canon for Formation, Episcopal Diocese of Pittsburgh. Have a wonderful day.
Our blessings go with Sally, and we thank her for all the years that she's done this. And drive safe to Steubenville. That won't happen. Okay. Well, we're people of miracles, so we're going to pray for you on that. Well, thanks for all of you being here. This is the 15th Pastoral Care Conference, and it's taken a lot of effort. And I really want to thank Christ Church at Grove Farm for hosting us. Maybe we could have a little... It is such a beautiful facility. That's one of the reasons we do it here. This isn't just about you getting information. It's also about you networking with other denominations and other social service agencies, and at the same time, a day to get some retreat. It's such a beautiful facility. Every time I come here, I work on the sin of envy. Maybe some of you also experience that, but they bless all of us from being here. I want to thank our sponsors. By the way, if you noticed this year, we had first time $15. We really worked on keeping the price down. We work with Christian Associates, and so if any denomination is interested in sponsoring, this year the kind of main sponsor was the Widows Corporation, and you know, I know Benjamin Franklin. Some people think he's a deist. Some people, he started something called the Widows Corporation, which was for Episcopal Anglican clergy, and it was to take care of their spouses because there was no Social Security or anything like that. And he started this insurance company that is still working. It's a nonprofit, and it takes care of the widows of Episcopal clergy. They're the ones that sponsored this, so as far as I'm concerned, Ben Franklin may have spent his youth wine, woman, and song, the rest he wasted, but the one thing about it was he also knew how to take care of people, and so he took care of the Widows Corporation, who's funding us. So if next year your denomination is interested in supporting this or is interested in being one of the sponsors. The breakfast sponsor is White Deer Run and Co. Forge. I want to thank them for the free breakfast. And the lunch sponsor today will be St. Joseph Institute for Addiction, and we'll thank them at lunchtime. Please visit the display tables. It's not just the information that you gather here. It's really the connections, so that if you need to get somebody into a rehab or you need something about foster care, you actually have a card and a face and a way to access this. This is so we can make Pittsburgh greater for God than it is for Steele by giving us more tools. Some of the tables that are not in the program, partly due to the fact that we either received it late or, you know, we drop the ball sometimes. That's what pastoral care is about. We're not perfect. Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, Lakeview Health, and Recovery United Pittsburgh Foundation. So we hope to be back next year and to continue. And I also want to thank the many volunteers who helped, especially Andy Mall, who's helped us with the graphics and the web page. This is the first year that we were really able to have an online registration. The Episcopal Diocese for sponsoring, through the Widows Corporation, Ken Smith, Calvary Church, Allison Wardrop, and the Pittsburgh Pastoral Care Planning Committee. So we want to thank them all for this. The last thing that I want to say is I am so happy to be here, the 15th anniversary. I came back early from Uganda to be here. And to give you an idea of what the rest of the world is struggling with, Uganda has 30 million people, and Kampala, a world-class city, has 3 million. They have 24 detox and recovery beds in the entire country. And I went to visit that. I went up to a place of Sirote, 50,000. Last year, I carried the message of recovery to the bishop's son, who is alcoholic. This year, he showed up at our conference. He was sober. And when I left, the first 12-step meeting was being founded there in the town of Sirote. And it was this two recovering people, one through the church, the other one through the 12-step program. And both of their names were Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And I just want to let you know that God is with us today. I would like to have Karen Plavin come up, and she's going to introduce Reed Carpenter, one of the people who has touched many of us in our life and is one of the reasons we have the Pastoral Care Conference. Karen.
Thank you, Jay. I have the pleasure of introducing Reed Carpenter, and for those of you that remember, I worked with Reed for about 15 years at the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation with CLEAR, and CLEAR at one point got a grant to help improve treatment for people who have alcohol and drug problems, and one of the things that we decided to do was to reach out to doctors and clergy, and that's when we started this Pastoral Care Conference. At the Leadership Foundation. We actually have a picture out on the table out there of our first conference. If you want to see how Jay and I have aged, you can go look at that picture. But not Reed. Reed still looks the same. Okay, so Reed is the founder and past president of the Pittsburgh Foundation, or the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation. Their mission is to connect leaders, change lives, transform cities. He's also president emeritus of the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation, whose vision was inspired by the Reverend Samuel Shoemaker. I have a vision that Pittsburgh will one day be as famous for God as it is for steel. In these positions, he's initiated collaborative ventures with hundreds of local partners to assist at-risk youth, prisoners and their families, people with inadequate health care, families in need of housing, and individuals and families with alcohol and drug addictions. He secured more than $500 million to support these efforts in Pittsburgh over the years. Additionally, he initiated, organized, and helped fund more than 20 organizations, including CLEAR, the Coalition for Leadership Education and Advocacy for Recovery, the Pittsburgh Youth Network, now called Pittsburgh Kids Foundation, the Coalition for Christian Outreach, Saltworks Theater Company, the East Liberty Family Healthcare Center, and he partnered with World Vision to establish its international distribution center here in Ambridge, and the Pittsburgh Storehouse, now called the Education Partnership. Reed began his ministry in 1961 as the area director for Young Life in Pittsburgh. As regional director, he worked in Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New York. He then was promoted to director of Young Life's Northeast Division, which included Eastern Canada. And he has been an advisor to many faith-based organizations and business corporations and served on various boards and committees, including the Communities and Schools International Urban Associates, National Center for Protection of Children and Families, and QED Enterprises. He graduated from Fairfield University in Connecticut with a degree in sociology and received a master's in biblical studies from Young Life Institute, Boulder Theological Seminary, and an honorary doctorate from Geneva College. Reed and his wife Carol reside in Florida, and they are parents of four grown children and grandchildren. So I welcome Reed Carpenter to speak today. Thank you.
It's great to be with people who are at risk. And you are definitely at risk by inviting me here today. And especially to talk on this particular subject. I didn't choose this subject. This subject was chosen for me. And, talk about, one person of the Trinity is a is a kind of a frightening task, to say the least. But I got my friend Dave Eltz, and I've got a lot of people who love me sitting in this group, people who tell me they love me, and I believe it. One of the great, great cherished realities of my life is the fact that I don't deserve it, but I am very loved. And the power of love is the most powerful force in the world. And so my assignment today, I'm going to get at by asking the question, you know, when you think about it, if you push back a little bit and ask yourself, why are you here? Where did you come from? What's going on? What is it that perhaps we really do have in common? What is the compelling force? What's the gravity? What's the force field that basically got you out of bed this morning? Got your Bill Winston and I were looking at each other. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "I'm above ground." You know, what could be better than that? The worms haven't crawled in or crawled out, and so the idea that we're alive, the idea that we are breathing, the idea that we have gathered, the idea that something deeper, something that we cannot see or perceive is going on that brings us together today. Now, we got lots of words for this stuff. We got theological words for it. You know, we got as many as people are in the room, we got different expressions of it. But because of the nature of this conference and because of why I think I've been asked to do this is fundamentally, I think we're here because somewhere on our journey in life, we have let go and let God. Now, we've done that through all kinds of different channels, all right? For different reasons. Sally was up here talking about her reason for letting go and letting God. But what I fear is that in using those kinds of expressions, we're not really sure of what it means to let God. I mean, it's a great phrase. It's catchy. Okay? But if you push it, it means the fact that we've come to a place in our lives where, for whatever reasons, they are unmanageable, and we've come to believe that there's a greater power that can restore us to health and sanity. Now, we got all kinds of people who would put different jargon to that, right? But the essence of it is that as human beings, we at some point have to believe that we cannot do this by ourselves. So in an act of surrender, we make a plunge into an unbelievable world that we don't know very much about. It's called God. Now, I resent people who've got God already boxed up and can tell you exactly what he looks like, where he is, how he is, how he works, how he, what church he's in, and, you know. But that's not jumping in to God. I'm going to read you something. I'm here as one of the few people probably in the room that actually got to spend time with Sam. And so a little bit of my story is going to be trying to speak on his behalf in terms of what he intended and what he said that has established such a profound, profound, profound demonstration in all of the world. Jay just came back from Uganda. I just got back from Haiti. The fact of the matter is, the principles upon which Sam stood and spoke are working everywhere in places where language is not even clear. Because we're not dealing with human stuff. We're dealing with a force that is greater than all of us. And I'm going to just read here. This is I read this all the time. I have decided in just rereading it that I am going to get this book reprinted. It's called The Holy Spirit and with Fire. Sam wrote it in 1960, exactly 55 years ago. If you look at human history from the time he wrote this and what he says in it, this is one of the most prophetic books that I have ever read. And so, with great humility, but great joy, I want you to know that almost everything I've done in my life is a direct result of the vision of Sam Shoemaker. I'll try to just get at that a little bit. But when I read this, you'll know a little bit what I am going to talk about today. Yet it appears that the Holy Spirit took on just where the historical Jesus left off. Now, I know we got all kinds of people in this room today, so please, I'm going to sound a little preachy. I'm not trying to get over on you, okay? I'm just trying to be faithful, okay? So if I say anything that, you know, kind of hurts or rubs you the wrong way, I'm trying to be faithful to what this stream that we're in is really all about, okay? And, you know, we say in our creeds in the church, and I happen to agree with it, you know, where's Jesus now? He's sitting at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, making intercession for us, and he will come to judge the living and the dead, and this world will have no end. Blah, 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 blah. How many believe that? Well, yeah, raise your hand. Okay. The fact of the matter is, yet it appears that the Holy Spirit took on just where the historical Jesus left off. It appears that the Holy Spirit is Jesus, universalized, timeless, omnipresent. He was kind of the spiritualized incarnation, a Christ without physical limitation. We might say that Jesus made God's nature known and that the Holy Spirit made the power available. So when you let go and you let God, what space have you just plunged into? According to Sam, you've plunged into a space that is carrying out the unfinished work of Jesus in the world. That's the space. Now, some of you can't talk about that very clearly or well. Doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about a force that's greater. It's about a power that's greater. And it's about a power that's greater who is now. It's a lot of us think that when you jump into God, if you let go and let God, you are going to jump into a lake. And you're going to get cleansed and it's going to be wonderful. I'm telling you, you ain't jumping into no lake. You're jumping into the wildest, rip-roaring stream. You're jumping into something that is so exciting, so demanding, so incredible, laden with crosses and crosses to bear, and people who are hurting, and people who are throwing up, and people who are dead, people who are coming alive. You're jumping into a space that is the most important space in the world, because it's the space, it's the place where the finished work, we all talk about the finished work of Jesus. Well, Jesus did finish some work, in my humble judgment. On the other hand, there's a whole lot of work he hadn't done yet. And all of a sudden, when we say yes, we jump into that stream, and all of a sudden we are... So Sam is so tired of religious people. Because what religious people do is they take this unbelievable power and stream and they bottle it up and paste it with their picture on it. And what it does is it causes that stream of the Spirit never to get to the destination, which is the destination of Jesus on behalf of God so loved the world that he gave us a chance to be with him in it. Now, I don't know what's compelling in your life. I don't know if you're bored or not. But I'm pretty tired of people who claim to have this power and are the most boring people I know. I mean, all they do is create yawns. And I don't think that the work of the Holy Spirit that is... Another way to say this, and then I'm going to jump into my personal expression of it. You know, one of the things that, again, draws us all together, because in an instant, if I said, let's all stand up and say the Lord's Prayer, he'd get up. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Every AA meeting says the Lord's Prayer. All right, Dave? The work of the Holy Spirit is to make the Lord's Prayer become a reality. Thy kingdom come to earth. Thy kingdom come to Pittsburgh as it is in heaven. You don't create the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God already exists. Our job is to be the magnet that draws that kingdom down into human life, into the nooks and crannies of pain and sorrow and defeat and death. If you think that's boring, then what in heaven's name, Jimmy boy, is worthy to be called exciting? Words have no meaning. So, you got at least a faint picture of what I think is the work and the space and the dimensions and so forth of the Holy Spirit. Because when you let go and let God, you are on purpose jumping into the historical stream of the Holy Spirit, which contains all of holy history. You're jumping into David, you're jumping into Goliath, you're jumping into Jeremiah, you're jumping into the prophets, you're jumping into the history of God in human form. You're jumping into holy history. Is that big enough for you? Is that a big enough stream? So you're riding on the shoulders of everybody who's gone before us. I'm happening in this little talk to really focus on the fact that I stand here representing the stream of one of God's great, great persons, Sam Shoemaker. Back in 1950, in the 50s, I was a high school kid. And the 50s were great. We had to go to the movies in the 60s to find out what the hell was going on in the 50s, right? So, we were all retarded and screwed up. But the fact is, life was pretty good then. The war was over, you know, people were back to work, you know. The music was pretty good. 57 Chevys were great. And so forth. But then the 60s came. And none of us were ready for it. None of us knew what hit us. And so I was kind of that kid lost in that kind of space. Thank God I never got into drugs because they weren't that available in the 50s, at least where I was. But I got into lots of other shorts. So all I can tell you, this is my little personal story, right? So in the category for what it's worth. I showed up in a place where, for the first time in my life, I actually experienced the dynamic of the personhood of Jesus, where he left the church and left the doctrinal categories that I grew up with, which clearly weren't working for me, and showed up in compelling form through other human beings that absolutely blew my mind. And I can remember saying, that's what I want to be like. That's what I want to look like. That's what I want to smell like. That's what I want to behave like. And all of a sudden, in the midst of that reality, these words were clear to me. Jesus said, Reed, I want you to follow me. I'm calling you out, dude. I know you're only 17 years old, but I'm calling you out. And in my first instinct to hearing that call was to say, yes, but. Yes, but. My but was, I don't want any part of it if you, Jesus, aren't for everybody. I don't want to be part of any elitist network. I don't want to be, if you can't work in Harlem, then I don't want to follow you. You can't work in the biggest gang structures that are functioning in the United States today. I'm not interested. I don't want to get stuck in some small space with people who are uttering religious things, because I grew up with that, Dave. I know one thing, it wasn't working for me. I wanted something that had some muscle, some breath, some texture. That's what I wanted in my life. And so finally, you know, I was convinced that at least somebody told me Jesus was for everybody. My man William Winston, you know, I met Bill when he was a Black Panther, coming back from wars in the early 60s. He's sitting in the room today, my great, 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 great friend. And we went on a journey, didn't we? I mean, bang, bang, we went on a journey. So this business about getting caught and then putting our language to it so that we can sell it or defend it or promote it or pay for it is something that I think we need to question, because it impedes the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, his job is to make the presence of the love of Jesus apparent in the world today, in every nook and cranny, in every form, in every place, et cetera, et cetera. I can't think of a more overwhelming privilege and joy and task than that. Well, I ended up on the Lower East Side of New York, working with the gangs of what was then kind of epitomized in the West Side Story, and then we went to Harlem. And you know, Malcolm X drove us out of Harlem in his own car, and you talk about finding out whether Jesus could work with everybody. And he did. Some of the most unbelievable disciples of Jesus came out of those gangs. And they're still functioning today all over the world. Because once you get caught up in this stream, once you get into this place, when you say, I'm going to let go and I'm going to let God, you better be ready for a freaking ride. Because you're going to go places that where the wind doesn't know where it's going. This is my financial advisor. Just get me more money. The fact of the matter is, I timed that just right. So my journey was very dramatic as I stepped into letting go. In fact, I really didn't want to know where I was going. I wanted the joy of the adventure. I wanted to have the exhilaration of the journey. Because I knew it would lead me to people that I would never know otherwise, like you. Why am I standing here today? Are you kidding me? So in that journey, I came to Pittsburgh in 1961. And would you believe, the third day I was here as a 21, 22-year-old jerk, I'm standing in the living room of Sam Shoemaker, brought there by a guy by the name of Don James, who was dropping off a package. Don headed up the Pittsburgh Experiment at that time. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He introduced me as the new young life leader. Sam had this smile on his face. His whole countenance was full of joy. He grabbed my face in his hands, looked me in the eye, and said, "Reed, I've been praying for you a long time." I said, "Jimmy, what are you talking about? Praying for me? You never knew me." Oh, I didn't know it was you. I didn't know it was you, but we got a whole lot of kids in Pittsburgh that need to be loved on. I've been praying for somebody to come and love on those kids. You're it. Now, if you don't think that drives a stake into the heart of a young man, to be told by a mentor that they've been prayed for, and that because of that, you're welcomed and set free to do that which God has called you to do, you've missed a little something, right? Almost the next thing I know, we are standing. Sam says, "I want you to come with me to Mount Washington." We were commemorating the vision that Sam had on Mount Washington in October of 2012. I brought people from all over the world into Pittsburgh who are now connected with the Leadership Foundation movement. And we're standing there. And I had never even thought about what I'm going to say, only in reflection. But I found out that Sam uttered that message in my hearing exactly 50 years to the day that we were standing on the same pad overlooking the city. And it just, I just can't tell you. Now, I'm going to be dramatic here, because it was dramatic. All right? We get up there, there's just the three of us, and Sam says, "Boys, turn around. Behold your city." My heart started pounding. Every time I go to Mount Washington, the hairs on my arms stand up. Because that's where the Holy Spirit met me. With my eyes cast on that city, I saw its corporate structures. I saw the smoke of its steel mills. I saw the barges going up and down. I saw the blue collar, white collar, pink collar. I saw the city as a whole. And then he said this. I have a vision that one day Pittsburgh will become as famous for God as for steel. And when he said that, I'm just reporting, there was a power that showed up that drove the three of us to our knees. Now, in retrospect, I wouldn't have said it then, but I would say it clearly now, that I really believe that was God speaking through Sam, clearly a word of prophecy over this city. And what he went on to say in some of his other work. Listen to this line. This was in Time magazine in 1955. In an essay written by the editor that fundamentally was reporting on movements in the country that were under the title of Faith at Work. And Pittsburgh was featured in that. And a quote from Sam Shoemaker said this: there is more power sitting in the pew of the Church of Pittsburgh on Sunday morning that if mined and executed would create more power than all the coal in the hills and the steel in the mills, and that Pittsburgh would become a spiritual power plant for the rest of the world. The question we all have to ask ourselves, did Sam say it or did God say it? Because if that is truly God's intention, we dare not play with it. We need to take that so seriously. Now, just in my little world, what was birthed here to carry out this vision, namely a leadership foundation, are now located in 84 cities all over the world. And the reason I keep coming back to Pittsburgh, it's like coming back and inhaling mother's milk. It's you. It's you. You're the force of the Holy Spirit incarnating Jesus in this city today. In all of the various forms, in all the various places, in all the various... That's you. You're on the wall. I can't help it. It's 2015. You think holy history has ended? You think got some work to do? Okay, let me conclude. This journey's been going on now for 50 years. I've had the wonderful privilege of just not knowing what the heck's going on. Greatest thing in the world is not to know, but to be faithful. But there are three things that I'd just like to leave you. And I'd like you to stir these things around. Kind of as lessons learned along the way. Because if we're not learning lessons along the way, we're nuts. You think that as you analyze holy history, there's been some lessons along the way? You pick up your Bible, oh my gosh! Oh! They went through the same thing we, oh my God! I mean, those people back there had the same issues with... Oh my God. We got a lot of lessons to learn along the way. I happen to believe that one of the great graces that we've been given as a family of God is Pope Francis. I think Pope Francis gets it. I think he does nothing but talk about the Holy Spirit. He has a grasp of the Holy Spirit like no leader that I have seen or heard in many, many, many occasions. And it's a unifying factor, because I know more people who aren't Catholic who love Pope Francis than are Catholics who love him. Because there's something going on. There's something going on. We got to undo what happened 500 years ago. This is ridiculous. It's stupid that we're still apart because we got truth on our side and they don't. How stupid is that when the world is going to hell in a handbasket, when we're losing generations of kids, when kids can't read and write, we're sitting around arguing about Mary? What are you freaking, are we nuts? Nuts, we're nuts. We're so fragmented, we're so out of touch with where the stream of the Holy Spirit is taking us. We need an army that's been reconnected by the Spirit, because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are resident in the body of Jesus that is spread out all over the place. Do you think you can fight this battle alone? Would you please go check yourself into a triage place? Because you're going to get killed. You're literally going to get killed. You're going to run out of gas. You're going to be so exhausted you can't move. You're going to be so defeated because you don't see results. But yet we plug on maintaining our institutions and believing that this is, you know, we're crazy. And the Holy Spirit is breaking in our midst in ways that we cannot even imagine, in new and forceful ways. So here's the three things. I'm still on time, by the way. It's the people that preceded me that are screwed up, okay? So I'm just going to take a couple more minutes. Here are three admonitions that are based on my kind of life experience. The first one is this. And this is a very practical one because of the way we behave. You know, some of us are more committed to our traditions than we are to the kingdom. I mean, we die for our denominational roots. We don't die for Jesus. So we're kind of, I know there's clergy in the room here, and I love you all, and thanks for being here. We need your help. Because clericalism is really in the way. Because it's so focused on the maintenance of our institutions. Rather than this. I would love to see clergy, people, call a new dance. And that dance is a dance to kneel down before the God of the universe and pray in ways that are just beyond our imagination, that the kingdom of God would come to Pittsburgh as it looks in heaven. You think we can manufacture that? Do you think we can plan it? Do you think we can program it? Do you think we can... You know, some of us have given our lives to building institutions. And that's okay as long as they get converted into the kingdom. As long as they end up smelling like, tasting like, looking like, acting like Jesus. For the sake of the least, the last, and the lost. By nature, the kingdom is missional. The kingdom is not church. Church should be a vehicle that fires up the kingdom, that calls the kingdom down. The kingdom exists as we speak. We pray it all the time. Thy kingdom come to Pittsburgh as it was in heaven, as it will be in heaven, or as it is in heaven. Duh. So you don't think God knows what he's doing, huh? You don't think he's already part of a kingdom that looks pretty good? That knows how to behave? That knows how to laugh? That knows how to dance? They're dancing in heaven. They got dance down in heaven. They don't need any dance programs. The angels are leading the beat. The orchestra's in place. I got a friend who heads up the accordion section of the heavenly band. It's a great sound. Jeff, it's a great sound. Bring your own instrument, because you'll be playing it in a way that you never could down here. It's already going on. Do you believe that? Am I crazy?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, so the first thing is, I'm calling somebody to basically cut out the nonsense of just coming together to share what you already know. I'm asking somebody to take leadership to come and assault the throne of God and beg that the kingdom of God would come to Pittsburgh as it is in heaven. You'll see things, feel things, touch things that you never even dreamed existed. And it's the reason many of you are in the room today, unbeknownst to you. Because we prayed for 50 years, every month, for 2 days, on our knees, that Jesus and his kingdom would come to Pittsburgh as it is in heaven. Where do you think Clear came from? Where do you think the first hospital bed for adolescents came from? Man or God? We were there, David. We saw Sister Rosita with that tear running down her face from St. Francis Hospital when she said, "If not us, who?" And unlocked recovery for a whole bunch of generation of kids. Did that come from us or did that come from God? Is that our idea? Or was that his idea? What ideas have we not heard yet? And how do we get those ideas into our... So I'm asking that prayer be reestablished as the front line of Holy Spirit activity in the city of Pittsburgh. Without it, you can do nothing. The good news is, it's already God's intention. He wants to give it. He wants you to have it. It's a done deal. The second thing I'd just like to leave with you is the fact that when you see fragmentation, isolation, the body of Christ disconnected, not respecting one another, not together, that we end up in our silos of either theological or historic tradition or whatever it is, That is not, prophetically I tell you, that is not the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of Satan. Satan is the great fragmenter. He is the one that doesn't want us together. He doesn't want us to be honest with each other. He doesn't want us to spend time in small groups. He doesn't want us to hold each other accountable. He doesn't want us to love on each other. He doesn't want us to get well. He would really like us to just keep on creeping around like a bunch of wounded warriors that fundamentally can't get out of bed. If you were God's enemy, isn't that what you'd like? A bunch of pathetic people staying in bed or hanging out in their own little circle. Where you will see the robust energy of Jesus. He prayed for it before he left the world, that we would be of one heart and one mind, so that the world will know who I am. You know why the world doesn't know who Jesus is? Because of us! We don't get along. We don't even like each other. We don't know how to say, I love you. We don't know how to say, hey, you're the greatest person. And sister, I don't know you, but I'm so glad you're here. Because of everything you represent. An army that has been to war. The greatest day of my life was when I understood the power of nuns. Because I hired a full-time person to do nothing but take prayer requests to the retired nuns of Pittsburgh. And we saw power come down from on high because these women could not get out of bed, but they could pray. The forgotten army. Who's organizing the nuns today to pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would come upon Pittsburgh and renew the face of the earth? So take a look. And don't get caught in eddies that just go around in circles. Have you ever been on a rope? Have you ever been whitewater rafting? You seen that current go by? You're supposed to be in it, and you're stuck against a freaking bank, and the tree limb is eating your soul out, and you don't have the power to break free. You ever been there? That's a good picture of us. The power is there. We're stuck in an eddy that's going around like this. It's so powerful that we can't get out of it. You think, I'm going to give up my doctrine to join the stream of the Holy Spirit? Are you crazy? No, my doctrine is my safety net. This is what I believe. Who cares what you believe? Jesus is going down the river. And he wants you to follow him. He wants you to go. He wants you to break free. He doesn't want you stuck. And I know when I'm in those situations, I love it when people I'm with have been down the river before. I don't want to go with a bunch of rookies. I don't want to go with snotty-nosed kids that are going to get me killed. I want to go with some veterans. I want to go with some people who know the way. Don't you?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, I'm exhausted. One last earmark of people who are in this stream. It's implied in what I've said. But I think the greatest gift that I personally have been given by the Holy Spirit is the capacity to take risks. I've gone places, done things, created things that nobody could spell. But once you get there, all of a sudden, I was just in Haiti, and we have a village in Haiti. And the first time I was in this village, I didn't know why I was there. But all of a sudden I looked up and there was 175 people who'd come out of the trees and the bushes and the brush to come and just stare at me. I was with some other people. I asked, where did they come from? Well, you know, they knew you were here. And it was an unbelievable moment in my life because they're staring at me as if Jesus had arrived. Well, you know what? Jesus did arrive in pathetic form, in a very lousy disguise. What the heck am I doing standing in Haiti if it didn't happen because I was compelled by the love of Jesus to reach out to the least, the last, and the lost? How are we going to get there? Well, here's the deal. Please don't take on anything that doesn't have implied in it a cross. Because knowing that there's a cross will cause you to keep on saying, let go and let God. You know? So let's say, for the sake of Sam, for the sake of God's vision for Pittsburgh, let's stay at it, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. Good to see you.
I'll be around for a while.
Thank you, Reed. So we all are going to jump in the stream, right? Okay, well, I can't swim, so I need a lot of help. Okay, so we only are going to take a 5-minute break. We have a few changes in the program. It's Andrea Lohr from Highmark can't be here, or Martha Selleck from Samaritan, but they both have people taking their place in the rooms. At lunchtime, the Dave Else Award will happen in this room rather than out there, since we have more people. If you need any social work credits, certified addiction counselor, any credits, make sure you sign in on the sign-in sheets. The first breakout session, Addiction 101, will be right here in Wilson Hall. So those of you going there, you don't have to move. You just stay right here. All the other breakout rooms, if you walk out this door, make a left and you go down the stairs. So all the other rooms, it's well marked. We have signs everywhere. So that is all I have. Thank you, and I will see you at lunch.